Let's turn to Luke 23, 43. I do have a Bible study to do tonight. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to teach to you. Luke chapter 23, 43. Jesus is between two thieves. And Jesus said unto one of the two thieves, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I want to teach from this thought, admit one. Admit one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That you died on a cross. You died as a thief, but you wasn't a thief. Thought it not robbery that you be equal with God. They thought you were stealing God, his power, and saying, who can forgive sins but God? And Lord, you had all power in heaven and in earth. And they counted you in the number of the thieves. But Lord, there was one of them you admitted into paradise, and one was not. Thank you, Lord, for your admitting power in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. At the top of Calvary's hill were three crosses. And on the three crosses were three bodies. Three bodies. And three different manner of men. Two were legitimate thieves. And the one in the middle was accused of being a thief by saying he could forgive sins and that he was equal to God. They didn't understand, obviously, who he really was. It was the time of the year where they would sacrifice men, malefactors, and sentence them to a brutal, harsh death. That would make a statement, if you will, to all the others out there, this could be you. Isn't that what punishment is about? Punishment, they publicize it so it puts fear in the rest of them. It certainly put a lot of fear in 12 apostles because they didn't show up but one. The one in the middle had a body just like the two on each side, the right and the left. And this body was the body of God. It was the body of a God incarnate in flesh. It was the body of the Word that was in heaven. It was now Emmanuel, God with us, hanging on a cross. When we look at 1 Corinthians 11:23, we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it." Imagine, I want you to picture this. He's at the table, and it's like we slice our bread up. No one sets the whole loaf on your plate. You slice it up, and they would break it apart and give it to each man that was at the table. And our Lord, this night, this same night that his body would be betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks, knowing what his fate would be. And he said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body." I've just read to you where that body, the Lord gave himself, God gave himself a body, hast thou prepared me. Let's look at Hebrews chapter, I'm going to back up, I may skip a little bit, Hebrews chapter 10 and 5. Let me show you where his body came from. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." In other words, sacrifice and offerings was the sacrifice of a body, an animal's body. But now we have the Lamb of God in a bodily form. And so he takes this bread, back to 1 Corinthians 11:24, and he breaks it and he said, "Eat, this is my body." But he goes on to say, "which was broken for you." Can I tell you, you can't eat the whole loaf without breaking it? You can't have all of Christ without breaking it. He broke it and he gave it to them. He said, I was broken so that you could participate with me. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death, the death of the bread, if you will, till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So we call this communion today when we partake of these two things in symbolic ways. But I want to enforce to you that it was the body of the Lord. He said, this is not the bread like your fathers did eat that came down and are dead, but this is the bread that came down from heaven, which if any man eat of it, he shall have eternal life. But if you don't eat of it, the problem that we have today is, you see, he said, if you hunger and thirst, let him come unto me. There's not enough people in the world that have hunger pains. They're not hungry enough. They're not thirsty enough. Because when you get hungry enough and thirsty enough, you'll eat anything and you'll drink anything. I'll drink Bourne's Creek water and enjoy it if I get thirsty enough. And we don't have enough hungry and thirsty people that want to partake of the Lord. On the cross in the middle is the broken body that I've just referred to, the body of Christ. A body hast thou prepared me. On the other two crosses are two men that are equally broken. They too, I imagine, got 40 stripes, save one. They too were beaten. They too carried their cross. They too got nails in their hands. But only one of them can save. The body in the middle was broken that it might save the other two. It was broken that they might be a partaker. Did they not partake in the breaking? Did they not partake in the crucifixion? They were all part of it. But unless you are, he was broken for you to partake of. It was the body in the middle that said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. Yet no part of him was broken. No bone in his body, the Bible says, was broken. Yet he was smitten. Christ said that the body was broken for us. His body was broken for the two thieves that was on the cross. And this was like unto judgment day. Because we have a sheep on the right, or on one side, I'll say the right, and a goat on the left. We have the wheat on one side, and we have tares on the other side. We have one on one side that he'll say, enter in, and to the other, depart from me. It's just like judgment day. And on the cross is the sacrifice. What a beautiful setup. On the cross is the high priest and the sacrifice. When he couldn't find anything else to sacrifice, the Bible says he sacrificed himself. The difference between the two thieves on the cross, one was admitted into paradise. The other one, we don't see where his fate was. We can only imagine. But the one that was admitted to paradise was the one that admitted his sins. Admit one. They both were thieves. They both had done wrong. They both were sinners. And while on the cross, I want to teach you this tonight, that they both falsely accused Christ. We read only the one account that says that he one railed on him and the other one kind of took up for it. But I want to read to you in another gospel that shows they both railed on him. Matthew 27 and 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now, on ground level, they're looking up and going, wagging their heads. You poor fool, you. You such a fool. And look, he calls for Elias. Look, as if Elias is going to come save him. They didn't even understand who he was calling to. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple. You see, they remembered that day, Brother Valentine. He said, you see this temple? One stone shall not be upon another. Yet I will raise it up in 3 days. Oh, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. How about save thyself? Did he not tell them, you will surely say, physician, save thyself? Did he not tell them that day that he declared that he had come to restore Israel? If thou be the Son of God, now watch, this is ground level. If thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. I'll believe you if you come off the cross. He had already raised the dead. He had already healed lepers. He had already opened blinded eyes. But himself he cannot save. Likewise also chief priest. This is strong. Chief priest mocking him. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that gets under my skin, see somebody else mock somebody else. I want to tear you from limb to limb. Because if you'll do that to them, you'll do that to me. Chief priest, mocking the chief priest. With scribes and with elders, the whole church is there. And they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Oh, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, look at him. Who would want him? For he said, I am the Son of God. Where's Daddy now? Now watch, verse 44. The thieves also. Didn't say the thief. Didn't say the one on the right or the one on the left. It said the thieves. There's two of them. The thieves also who were crucified with him cast the same in their teeth. They both were in harmony while they were up in the air. Whatever was going on the ground, they were agreeing with them. And they were the ones on the cross. But it's interesting that the one on one side of him had a change of heart. What made him have the change of heart? Because he too was saying these same things. But all of a sudden, something happens inside of him. Let's watch. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us, me and this other guy. He included his guy over there. But the other answering, kind of looked around, Christ, I guess, he answered him saying, dost not thou fear God? I read somewhere where fear is the beginning of wisdom. And God reverences fear. Because fear is a respect. He's saying, do you not respect God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We're all hanging on the cross. Now watch. You see, when this man barked at Jesus, something rose up inside of that. Almost like David said, is there not a cause? He didn't say that till he heard that other guy defying the armies of the living God. You always find out who God-fearing people are when they start attacking other God-fearing people. And they may not be living right. They may be sitting on a bar stool. They may be doing drugs. But if you attack what they really believe in their heart, they're going to rise up. Is anybody witness to that? They're going to rise up. And they say, I'm not living it, but you need to leave them alone. Boy, that speaks volumes. Because that's what was happening on the cross. This man really believed in him. He said, we indeed justly. Oh, say that word with me. Justly. Justly. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Doesn't every man, if he does not get the grace of God, he's going to be lost? Doesn't it take grace to be saved? But we're not yet in grace. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Even though the man was a sinner, he was a just man. Can I tell you, you can be a sinner and be a just person? Oh yeah, you can say, I know I'm doing wrong. I know I'm not right. That's just. You say, I get what I deserve. That's just. Didn't mean you're saved, it means you're just. And the just shall walk by how? Faith. So this man, being just, now has faith. And he's a better judge than Pilate is. Because Pilate said, I find no fault in him. This man goes one step further. Not only did he say, I find no fault in him, but he says, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord. To the man on the cross, he said, Lord, I submit myself to you. That's when you call someone Lord. If you got a landlord, you're going to submit yourself to them. He said, remember me. You know, I heard about that kingdom thing you was talking about. It don't look like it's going to happen. I really don't see how it's going to happen. But if it does, please remember me. Just remember me. It seems like another man said, remember me. Do you remember who it was? Samson. It was Samson after he had done, the judge of Israel, after all he had done wrong, his eyes are plucked out, and he gets between two pillars. And he says, Lord, remember me just this one time. I'm not asking for favors or anything. I'm just saying, remember me. When you come into thy kingdom, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, admit one. Paradise, we don't have time to get into this, but paradise, the only place it's mentioned here is right here, and the paradise is being in the Garden of Eden. And then in Revelation, it refers to going back to paradise and the tree of life and so forth. But paradise is a place where it's not purgatory like some people have purgatory where they pray you out of anything. But you got to understand, Christ had not risen yet. But he said, today I'll meet you in a place of rest. Paradise is a place of rest. So when you look at the dead know nothing, right? That's what the book says, the dead know nothing. My daddy has deceased. He knows every bit as much that's going on now as Abraham does. And to my father who's deceased, when Christ comes, it'll seem like the same time frame as it does to Abraham. Because they have no conception of time. It's just like that. That's why it's in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed to meet him in the air. We're going to be changed just like that. And to them, it's just like that too. Do you understand that? Okay. But when in the parable, the rich man and Lazarus looked up into heaven. No, the rich man looked up into heaven and he saw Lazarus in the bosom. He didn't see him walking down streets of gold. He didn't see all that. What he says is, I see him in the bosom of Abraham. What is that? Resting in faith. A bosom is a place of rest. And so he said, I see him resting in faith. He said, well, tell him to come down here. He said, oh, no. No. They have the prophets, and they have the ministry, and even though one be raised from the dead, they won't believe. He's in rest. He's resting. So that is paradise. So all these three crosses or three bodies, the one in the middle was broken to save the other two. And one of the thieves was broken and partook. And the other thief refused. Are you kidding where I'm trying to teach you tonight? My body was broken that you might be able to partake, so that if you suffer with me, you shall also rise with me. If you don't go through anything, he said, everybody who lives righteous will be persecuted. So if you're not being persecuted to some degree, you might want to check. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, I read this to you, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. His body was broken, that we, when we are broken, we can partake of him. Wow. This man was admitted to paradise because he was a just man. You will read in Hebrews, it said, just man, men made perfect. Right? You ever read that? And so there is no other perfect man, in case you was thinking maybe you were perfect. There's no perfect man, there's no perfect woman. But there are just people that can be made perfect through the grace of Jesus Christ. This man on the cross, no doubt, traced his steps backwards. Now, how did I get here? I wish I could teach everybody in the world to take accountability of what you do and quit blaming the other guy. He's there on the cross, and Brother Valentine, he must have retraced his steps. Here's how I got here. I justly am getting what I'm due. When you admit that, he says, admit one. And until you admit your error and that you deserve what you're getting and not seek a way out of it, because that's what they first wanted, both of them, get me out of it. Get me out of it. Hey, if you can get off that cross, get me too. Get me out of it. And if all you're seeking is to get out of it, you're not just at all. You're not just at all. But a just person says, I deserve this punishment. I'll do my time. But remember me when you come into paradise. And so I'm trying to get you tonight to realize that if you'll go back to whatever it is you're going through, be just about it. Come on, be just about it. Go back to how it started, and you will find you're getting the seeds you sowed. Ain't nobody shouting over that, but it's true. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's just saying, I'm reaping what I sowed, pal. And you need to reap what you sowed too, pal. But Lord, I do believe in you. It don't look good, but I do believe in you. Let me go a little bit deeper. One man wanted justice. The other man just wanted to be free. And anytime you seek to be free without justice, you're not really free. There are two basic bodies in the world, and I'm hurrying. There is the body of sin and the body of Christ. On this cross was Christ. On one side was like the tree of life, and the other side was death. To one live, one dies. Okay? One has eternal life, the other one has eternal death. You eat of this tree, Adam, you live forever. You partake of this tree, death is inevitable. Death of your soul. Same principle, right here on the cross. And so the body of sin is right here in Romans. I don't have time, a lot of scriptures I could bring you, but Romans 6 and 6 says it the best I can put it with one verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There is the body of sin. It is the law of sin and death. The body of Christ, though, in Romans 12 and 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. Who was on the cross in the middle? Christ. And he brought him where? Into his kingdom. He brought him into him. And every one member one of another. So when the body sins, it dies. It dies a sinner's death. But when you partake of Christ, you live. And the problem with the body of sin is that, now listen close, the problem with the body of sin is if you're guilty anywhere, you're guilty of everything. The whole body is corrupt if it's one thing. James wrote it this way, 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, one point, he is guilty of that one. No. He is guilty of them all. Now listen close. This is why he said, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it would be better to go to heaven with one eye and make it than live in this ungodly state and have both your eyes and go to hell. If your hand offend you, he said, cut it off and cast it from you. Because there's not but one body of sin. The problem is we would amputate everything. Because if you offend in one point, you're guilty of them all. You see, the body of sin is like a seamless garment. It really doesn't have parts. The body of Christ has parts. But the body of sin has no parts. So if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all of them. You're no good at all. But the body of Christ is one body, but has many members. So watch, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we be white, black, red, live in Asia or America, it doesn't matter. Whether we be bond or we be free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Admit one, he brought this man into where he was at. This day I will meet you in paradise. For the body is not one member, it's one body, but it's not one member, but many. See, the body of sin is one thing. It's one thing. So if one part's wrong, it's all wrong. If the foot say, because I am not the hand, I mean, how many of you had rather be a hand than a foot? Come on. I'd rather be a hand than a foot. Come on. But if the foot say, you know, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it not therefore still of one body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, see, that's like sin. If the whole body is one thing. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would we wouldn't smell that gumbo and that fried chicken? Where would the smelling come from? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased. You mean he put me there. Can you be happy as they come tonight? where God put you? In the body of Christ? Can't we not just be happy to be part of the body? You might look at me today and say, yeah, but you're the pastor. Let me tell you, I was the weed eater for a long, long time. And we'll do it again. Doesn't make me any difference. I'm willing to be whatever my hands find to do. That's why I try to teach young people that think they're called to ministry. I said, hey, ministry will make room for itself. You just go out there and teach some Bible studies and you get busy in the church and the Lord will bring you up. You humble yourself. He said, that guy, he'll raise him up. But the guy who says, well, I want to be the eye. No, you're going to be the toe. That's what you're going to be. He'll humble you. But can we not be happy to be who we are in Christ? Can we not be happy just to be part of the bride of Christ? Can we not be happy to just be part of the church? Can we not be happy to be a brother and a sister to everybody who's part of the kingdom of God?